People like to say that money doesn't matter because it can't buy love or happiness. Well, that's certainly true, but there's no denying that money is still pretty important because it affects almost every aspect of our lives. Money has no moral character. It's neither good or bad. It's simply a tool, and a handy one at that, for getting things done. You might even call it a power tool. And first up today, we'll get the operating instructions from Kingdom Advisors President Rob West. Now, today's program is pre-recorded, but later we'll be taking some calls that were lined up ahead of time. So please, don't you call in, but don't go away. I'm Steve Moore, and this is MoneyWise Live. So, Rob, when people say that money's not important, maybe what they really think is that it's not important to God. So how do we know that that is or maybe isn't true?
Well, Steve, I would say for starters, the more than 2,000 verses in the Bible that deal with money or possessions, God doesn't need money because he owns everything. But it's important to him because he uses it to influence our lives and shape our character. You called money a power tool. Well, it can have a powerful way of focusing our attention on him and not ourselves if we understand, and this is critical, we're only stewards, not owners. For example, we like to say that we trust God, but when it comes to money, lots of folks have serious trust issues. So God uses money or perhaps circumstances that involve money to strengthen our trust in him. Through our finances, God often shows that he's in control. That's how we learn to trust him to provide and how we learn to accept our role as stewards of the resources he gives us. You know, the alternative to that is to trust in ourselves or in money, which the Bible never tells us to do. Let's go to Proverbs 11. I think it's clear here. Those who trust in their riches will fall, but the righteous will thrive like a green leaf. And in Psalm 20, we see some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. You see, the Bible is filled with verses that show God is always faithful to provide for our needs.
Yeah, good. Well said. God always provides for our needs, but sometimes he provides a lot more than what we need. And then, of course, there are other times when it seems like he's not providing enough or maybe not even there hearing us. So, you know, what's going on when that happens?
Well, perhaps, Steve, we're confusing needs with wants. God not only provides faithfully all that we need, he also determines what we need. But he does not promise to provide for our wants. God also uses the availability of money to set a path for our lives. He opens some pathways through the abundance of money, and he blocks other paths by withholding it. If you're frustrated because a particular path is consistently blocked, you might be dealing with a want. You want to go down a certain path, but God isn't providing the money to do it.
Okay, so time to pray and try another path, huh?
Well, probably so. And when you pray about where God might be leading you, meditate on Matthew 6:33. You know it well. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things will be given to you as well.
I do know that verse well. It's the very first verse I ever memorized, interestingly.
Is that right?
it really is. Now, you mentioned that God sometimes provides an abundance, other times withholds an abundance or resources at all. What else does that teach us, do you think?
Well, let's start with the abundance first. God wants us to enjoy the resources he gives us. We see that clearly in Ecclesiastes 2. There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. But that doesn't mean you're supposed to use the resources God gives you to live an extravagant, indulgent lifestyle. Rather, he gives an extra measure to some so they're able to help others less fortunate. So there, God is using money to teach us to share in his blessings. By giving to the poor, the abundance of some believers supplies the needs of others. Now, the other side of that is about having a need. Here, you might have to swallow your pride and let others in your church family know about it. God may be using your need to teach someone else to be generous. I think a good verse, Steve, to sum all that up is Ecclesiastes 7:14. It says, "In the day of prosperity, be joyful. And in the day of adversity, consider God has made the one as well as the other, so that man may not find out anything that will be after him. Which means don't worry about the future and be joyful in whatever measure God gives you today. You remember the Apostle Paul taught us to be content whether we have plenty or we're in need. And ultimately, we need to place our trust in him.
Yeah, each day will take care of itself. So offer that up to God. And obviously, we all need some help in this area. You're listening to Money Wise Live with Rob West. We'll be right back.
Many people adopt an attitude toward marriage and finances that it'll all work out somehow. But sadly, it often doesn't. Financial woes can devastate a marriage, but there is a better way. God's Way. Money and Marriage God's Way by Howard Dayton will help you discover God's approach to growing your finances, strengthening your relationship with your mate, and cultivating godly joy. Money and Marriage God's Way is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
If you need investing guidance, you probably want help that's grounded in God's Word. That's the approach taken by Sound Mind Investing. Since 1990, SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire wisdom and confidence in their investing. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a good and faithful steward in the area of investing. More information about SMI and its approach to financial wisdom for living well is available online at soundmindinvesting.org.
One of the common areas in our office has some beautiful flowers in a vase every day. They change color and types throughout the year. But one day last winter, I finally slowed down long enough to smell those beauties. There was no smell, and it turned out...
Those are fake.
You know, flowers can look so real, but have no life. Just like so many folks who look like they really belong to Jesus Christ, but there's no life there. Jesus described people who would come before him on Judgment Day with lots of Christian credentials, but no real faith. He says that he will tell them that he never knew them. That's why the Bible says to examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. The time to realize that you don't really know him is now. You can avoid being turned away by acknowledging what Jesus did on the cross for you. Being real and honest about your sin and wanting Jesus to take over your life as your Savior in your heart. We'd love to help you get started. Call us at 888-NEED-HIM or chat with us at chataboutjesus.com.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
So great to have you aboard today on MoneyWise Live with Rob West. Please remember that today's broadcast is pre-recorded. Don't try to call in, but we have some interesting callers all lined up. Let's begin. Burlington, Iowa. Hello, Ralph. How can we help you, sir?
How are you doing? Well, great. I've been listening to you talk about credit histories and stuff. My wife and I, we had done a real good job. We had money in the bank. We had a nice savings. I have a nice job. She has a secondary job supporting the home. Met up with a very unfortunate accident. I ended up with stage 4 cancer. I have fought through this, lost a job, got a job, lost a job, got a job. And now I'm settled into a reasonable job that I can still work with stage 4 cancer as I go through. Yet, it's not enough to make ends meet like I had been before. I'm probably $500 or $600 a month shy of where I was. I've been making primary payments like my insurance or like, you know, house payments and stuff like that are all being paid. Yeah. Credit cards are what are suffering. So my question is as I start getting a little bit caught up on some of the other things and start making payments, is there ways to rebuild my credit with this knowledge that this wasn't anything I really had control of. This was just a surprise. You had stage 4 cancer. I may be around another 6 months to a year. I may be around another 10 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Ralph, I appreciate your call. I'm sorry to hear about your health challenges, but we know the great physician. And so I'd love to finish today by praying for you and ask our MoneyWise Live community to do the same. With regard to the financial situation, this didn't catch God by surprise either, and he is your provider. And so we're going to just trust that he will bring the provision as he has along the way. I realize this this is a difficult situation from a financial standpoint, and it can be somewhat overwhelming at times, especially when you see the bills piling up and you're not able to pay them because there's just not enough to go around. So I would be communicating regularly with your creditors as to the situation and what caused it, and let them know that your intention is to pay, and you're doing everything you can to do that. Obviously, this needs to start with the family budget to see where you can cut back, Ralph, in any areas to try to free up additional resources to cover your bills and close that gap of $500 to $600 a month. I'm glad to hear that you did keep the major assets paid, including your home, and current. Obviously, we don't want to add a situation like that, something like a foreclosure, to the difficulty. And we recognize that with credit cards, there could be a judgment filed, and that's certainly not something anybody wants to go through, but you can only do what you can do. And obviously, your desire here is not to skirt these obligations. It's to find a way to accommodate them. So I would just say that as you have the ability, to pay, then that would be the ideal situation. Our friends at Christian Credit Counselors may be able to help with that. You'll find them on the web at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. But again, you can only do what you can do with regard to the money that's available. In terms of getting this resolved with regard to the credit report, I realize you want a good credit history and you want a good credit score, but that's probably not as important at this point as just getting on a more solid financial footing. You're probably not going to be able to have this information removed because even though there was a difficult circumstance surrounding it, it is in fact the way that it went down. Over time, as this gets further and further in the past, especially if you're able to get current through additional provision down the road, it'll have a lesser and lesser impact on your credit score. And ultimately, if you can get these paid off and they're noted as paid in full, that would be a good thing as well. So I think at this point, the key is let's just focus on you doing what you need to do for your health and for your family. Let's be grateful that the Lord has allowed you to continue to work even in the midst of this. Let's do what you need to do on the budget side to try to reduce expenses where possible. See if Christian Credit Counselors can help you navigate this with regard to communication with the lenders. But with regard to the credit report itself, I don't think at this point there's really anything you can do to get it, quote unquote, cleaned up other than just trying to get these debts paid off. And the last thing I would mention is just, and they likely do, but I would just encourage you to let your church family know about your financial situation. The Lord certainly has the money to take care of all of this. It just may not be in your hands. And one of the ways he provides is not only through our employers, but through God's people. And there may be somebody willing to step in here, the church itself, or somebody in the body of Christ that could be of help to you if the need is known. And so I realize that can be difficult, and sometimes we just don't want to be that transparent. We don't want to feel like we're asking for something, and yet that's what we're here for in the body of Christ, to support one another during a difficult period. So I realize I threw a lot at you there, and I don't have a silver bullet for you, but was that helpful to you?
Yes, sir, it was. I have pretty much settled out on a budget and stuff, and I'm paying what I can pay. It used to be I was paying enough that I was paying my minimum payment plus it again, so I was making double payments. So they can see what was going on, and they have all been contacted and told that I lost my job, I'm back on another job, I'm making a whole lot less. However, I'm getting up where I can be. All my other stuff is paid, so that looks positive on my credit, like he is doing something. So I'm just kind of working there. The nice part, well, okay. Stage 4 cancer means you're not going to be around for long. I may be around for another 5 years. the interesting thing is this has not affected my wife's credit. So when I do go home to meet the Lord, her credit is good. I'm just trying to fight to keep things going for us.
Yes.
And God's people have been a blessing. I'm one of those people I've been helping, and let's just say I try to give away more than I can, and God keeps replacing it. So,
yes,
there you go.
Yes,
thank you.
Yeah.
I think
well,
so. Really, truly, it's not ever going to fix my credit. Probably, however, they can see that I'm not doing this on purpose. Yeah. Is my big thing. I'm kind of conscientious about stuff like that.
Well, I can certainly appreciate that. Ralph, let me pray for you as we close out today. And Father, we just lift Ralph up to you today. Lord, we know that you know every cell in his body. You are his creator. And Lord, we just ask as the great physician that you would intervene here. Perhaps you would do something miraculous that only you can do, and that would be a testimony for those looking on. Lord, however you choose to proceed here, we know that he's in your hands. We tell you today we trust you. We ask that you give the doctors wisdom. You be with his wife and his family and in the midst of a challenging situation. And Lord, we just look forward to seeing how you're going to walk with him to draw him unto yourself during this valley, and that you would teach him and those watching whatever it is you would have us to know as a result of this illness, Lord. And we just thank you in advance for what you're going to do, and we ask this in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ralph. It's not a coincidence that you were able to get through today. So I believe God's people have heard you and are praying for you as well, and we wish you the very best. Stay in touch. And Rob, I like your recommendation that he share this with his church. That's what the body of Christ is for and all about. Not everybody will be able to respond, but some people might. You just can't leave God out of the equation when it comes to the local church. That's why he's assembled us. So please remember to pray for Ralph. You're listening to MoneyWise Live with Rob West. We'll be right back.
Do you know if you have enough? Enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
I want you to see when it says in Romans 8 that those of us in verse 5 who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that sinful nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit, living in accordance with the Spirit involves a mindset. You and I still can think fluently with the mind of our old flesh. We think it's just like we could be bilingual. We have a bi mindset. We can either think according to that old man, or we can think according to the new man. We choose in a manner. I can either think this through, and we catch ourselves in, you know, meditation only means thinking and rethinking something. That's all in the world meditation is. And when we find ourselves meditating out of carnality, how critical we feel towards somebody, how mad we are at somebody, how angry, how when lust overwhelms us, whatever it may be, all we're doing is when we catch ourselves in that mindset of the flesh, shift. Now listen, we have got to starve what we want to die, and we have got to feed what we want to live. That just is the way it is. There's not going to be a new way to do it. We want to feed that with what we watch on television. We want to feed that with what we listen to. We want to feed that with what we look at and read. We want to feed that in our conversation. Whatever is most alive in us is what we're feeding most. It just is. It just is.
Beth is dedicated to encouraging people to come to know and love Jesus Christ through the study of Scripture. Maybe you're like me, always on the go. The free Living Proof app is a perfect tool to help you stay connected, encouraged, and in His Word with Beth. Download the free app today. Just search for Beth Moore in the App Store.
God cares a great deal more about our money than most of us imagine. In fact, Jesus says more about our use of money and possessions than about anything else, including both heaven and hell. In Managing God's Money, author Randy Alcorn breaks it all down in a simple, easy-to-follow format that makes it the perfect reference tool if you're interested in gaining a solid biblical understanding of money, possessions, and eternity. Managing God's Money is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
You're tuned to MoneyWise Live. I'm Steve Moore. Yeah, I got that straight. I'm Steve Moore. He's Rob West. And let's take some more calls. West Palm Beach, Florida. Florice, how can we help you?
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, how are you?
Great. How can we help?
Yes, I have a question about student loan. I graduated in 2011, and I've been having a Fed loan, student loan. And unfortunately, I was not able to find a job in the career that I studied. So I'm making less than I should be making. Now, every year I've been able to get it to the payment to $0. But this month I got a call from FedZone that says that this is the last time I can get the $0. I can get it down to $0. So I'm trying to figure out what is the best thing to do without it affecting my credit.
Sure. And these are federal loans, Florice, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, there's a number of repayment options, including deferment options, which is what you've been doing, available through the federal program, where you won't be making any progress toward paying down the loan, but you may be able to defer the amount, and oftentimes the interest is added to your principal balance on the back end. And there's a number of deferment options out there for economic hardship, for a graduate fellowship. It might be military service. You know, there can even be unemployment deferment as well. And so that's what I would look into, just to see what your options are, given that this is a federal loan. Your best place to go to explore that, if you haven't already, is studentloans.gov, studentloans.gov. That's the U.S. Department of Education website where they provide information about federal student aid. And you'll read about the various options there. But if you've exhausted all of those options to continue to move this forward, you're going to have to, go back to them and say, okay, what options do I have now? Obviously, you know, you want to try to keep this current. You don't want to get in a situation where you're in arrears, because obviously this is a government loan and we need to cover our obligations, but this is certainly not one you want to let get behind. There is loan rehabilitation options and so forth if you were to get behind. But have you asked them or explored what options you have now that you've already exhausted some of these?
The only thing that they said that is that this would be my last option, or I can do a consolidation. And yeah. I wasn't sure about the consolidation option, so...
Yeah. Well, the consolidation option is just going to put multiple loans together, give you an interest rate equivalent to the aggregate, and preserve the repayment options. But I think the key you have here is you've been getting the 0% alternatives. Those, it sounds like, are gone. And so at this point, what you're going to be looking for is, can you defer the payments on it, even though the interest is going to be accruing? It's just going to be added to the principal on the back end of the loan. And that's not going to affect your credit score because it's not due if you get the deferment. Now, if your score dropped after a loan came out of deferment, it's likely that something negative has happened, such as a missed payment or a high credit card account utilization or something like that. But if your loan is in good standing and you're getting a deferment, even if the interest is adding on the back end, at least that's going to keep it in a current status. I think the goal for you is, what can you do to pursue some income that would allow you to begin to start making some progress toward paying this back? And I realize you want to do that more so than even I do, but I'm just putting the obvious out there that we need to try to get into paying this back. But while you're in a situation where you don't have the ability to do that, your next best alternative is to defer while the interest is accruing.
Does that make sense, Florice?
Yes. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks for calling today. We appreciate it.
God bless you. Bye-bye. Let's stay in Florida and speak to Jean, who has some debt she's trying to work through, Rob.
Very good, Jean. You're on MoneyWise Live. How can we help?
Hi. I recently got a settlement. It's about $17,000. I have credit card debt around like $1,600, and I have like a car loan that's around $6,000. So I was wondering, should I pay off my car or take that money and instead pay some of my credit card debt?
Yeah. So you got $17,000 as a settlement. What did that come from?
It was was in a car accident, and they settled the case for that much.
Okay. All right. And are you working currently?
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Well, you know, my priority would be obviously the credit card debt first. I'd love for you to go ahead and wipe that out. How much do you owe, did you say, on credit cards?
I have about $7,000 that's been charged off, and they want to settle that for $2,000.
Okay.
And then they say they're going to send me like a 1099 for my tax. Yes. I'm not really sure how it's going to affect my tax next year.
But, yeah, so what they're saying there, just so you understand that, is that the difference between what you owed and what you will actually pay is the amount that they're going to forgive as a part of the settlement. That's treated as taxable income to you. So you just need to make sure you set aside out of this settlement enough so that when the difference, in this case, the difference is sounds like $5,000. If you owe $7,000, you're going to pay $2,000. You're going to have to add $5,000 to your taxable income. So I'd put away at least 20% of that so you're ready to make that payment to the government, to the IRS, and so that doesn't catch you by surprise. The good news is, as long as you get that in writing, you can pay these amounts off. It'll be noted that you're settled in full, and that's going to take $2,000 out of the $17,000. If you can go ahead and pay off the car loan for another $5,000 and still have roughly $10,000, I'd put that in your emergency fund, and then I'd really focus in on your budget at that point, Gene, to make sure that you have a good plan for what's coming in and going out, and you know that you're really managing your funds properly so we don't ever see any more credit card debt coming back. And that's really meaning that you've got to have a system in place to control the flow of funds in and out. And I think if you do that, you'll feel a lot better knowing these loans are paid off, you're ready for the additional taxes, and you've got some money in your emergency fund.
That's right. Just use that emergency fund for emergencies. Remember that. You're listening to MoneyWise Live with Rob West. Remember that. And we'll be right back.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
The Moody Radio Verse of the Week for this Independence Day is found in John 8:34-36. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." That's John 8:34-36, the Moody Radio Verse of the Week.
Touch the stones of the Western Wall. Hear the waves of the Mediterranean. Smell the spices of Jerusalem. Taste the cuisine of the Middle East. See the land where Jesus walked.
Hi, I'm Charlie Dyer.
And I'm John Gager.
we're inviting you to travel with the Land in the Book radio team to Israel, October 13 to 24, 2020.
Get the details when you click on the link at thelandandthebook.org. That's thelandandthebook.org.
Money and life run on the same track, but unfortunately, sometimes it seems like your money is heading in a different direction from your goals. In Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, author Ron Blue helps you to break down all your financial options to a basic four, and then shows you how to keep it all chugging along in the right direction on the same track. Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. The number of confirmed coronavirus cases in the U.S. climbed to a new high of more than 50,000 per day on Thursday. The U.S. recorded 50,700 new cases. That's according to a tally kept by Johns Hopkins University. All but 10 U.S. states are showing an increase of confirmed cases over the last 14 days. That's according to the data compiled by the COVID Tracking Project. The Supreme Court has turned away pleas and will not hear cases from pro-life activists to make it easier for them to protest outside abortion clinics. This comes just days after justices struck down a Louisiana law regulating the abortion clinics. Stocks closing higher today. The Dow gained 92 points. The NASDAQ was 53 points higher. The S&P picked up 14. This is SRN News.
And you're listening to MoneyWise Live with Rob West. We come to you each day at this time, doing our best to take your calls and questions on anything financial. Obviously, our go-to resource is God's Word, the Bible. Let's move along here. Winter Haven, Florida. Hello, Kim. What's on your mind today?
Good afternoon. thank you for answering my call. Hi. I have my 401k from my previous employer. I left last March. And I'm thinking, since I'm always listening with your station, I don't know what is the right thing to do. Do I have to, you know, put that to Roth IRA, or should do what I should do? Because I'm turning 50 in a few months from now, so...
Yeah. Well, Kim, it's a great question to ask anytime you separate from an employer. A couple of options. I wouldn't leave it there. You certainly can do that, but that's not my preferred option because oftentimes the fees increase just a bit, which will put an additional drag on the returns. And I'd rather you just simplify things by consolidating it in one place, either by rolling it out to a traditional IRA, not a Roth, but a traditional IRA, which is not going to create a taxable event. It's just going to move it from the 401k to an IRA, and then you would have to determine how you want to invest it. Or you could roll it into your new 401k, assuming you have a new 401k with your new employer. Have you explored that option?
Yes. Actually, with the new employer I have right now, they have 401k. My question is, I put with Roth 401k. Is that okay. Right option for me to do that?
I like that option. Yeah, I like that option, Kim. And oftentimes you can have both. So you can have both a traditional 401k and a traditional Roth, and you can determine how you want the money allocated. The nice thing about the 401k Roth is that that money is going to grow tax-free so that when you pull it out in retirement, you won't be paying any tax on it. And you'll have these two buckets. You'll have the money that was in your traditional 401k that's now either going to go to a traditional 401k at your new employer or an IRA, and that money will be available. You will pay tax as you pull it out, but likely you're going to be in a lower tax bracket unless the rates increase significantly, and we certainly don't know what's going to happen there. But oftentimes when you're no longer working and you're in retirement, you're in a lower bracket, all things being equal. So you'll have the option to pull some funds from that, and then you'll also have these funds that you're putting in your Roth 401k that we'll be building. So if you did move it to the new employer, you would want to see about moving it to a traditional 401k that you would have alongside the Roth option. You'd have both, and then you'd choose your investment options there. If you don't do that, then I would open a traditional IRA at another institution. If you have a relationship with somebody, you could do it there. If you don't, you could go to Charles Schwab, or you could go to Betterment, or you could go to Wealthfront and open an account, roll it in, and then you could begin investing it that way. And you could do it in a fashion that's very low cost, where you have a good, broad, diversified portfolio. But I like the idea of you having both of these, and I certainly don't have any problem with you contributing to the Roth 401k moving forward with new money that's being deferred from your salary. Does that make sense to you?
Okay. With this swab, let's say I'm going to research of how I feel like how it, I will try with this swab IRA, and then
yes.
We'll see. Are they going to invest on their own? Because I'm not very good in, you know, doing on myself.
Yeah, well, in either option, you would have a choice for them to do it for you. In the case of the 401k, you would have a very limited number of investment options, and there's probably somebody either at the company or at the plan administrator that could give you some counsel and help you make those selections based on your age and goals and risk tolerance. In the case of rolling it out to an IRA, if you use something like the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios, essentially they would get to know you through a question and answer process, a portfolio would be built for you, and then it would be automatically invested and reinvested as you get dividends and rebalanced over time. It's a very low cost, very effective and efficient way to invest, and it really doesn't require you to have any investing expertise. That's really where the beauty of the intelligence of the portfolios come in. So that would be a great option for you, and you could just contact your previous plan administrator, let them know that you need the paperwork to roll it over, and once you have that account open at Schwab, you could roll it right in.
Kim, sounds like you're making good progress. We're glad that you called today. Thanks very much. From Florida up north to Concord, New Hampshire, Susan, you're on with Rob West.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My husband and I are almost old enough to retire, but we're not ready because we're raising a young teenager still. We've had our house for 30 years. We don't have a mortgage on it. We don't have any significant debt. But we haven't been able to afford all these years to really do sort of maintenance things like sprucing it up to keep it in the shape it was in when we first got it new.
Sure.
So it's pretty run down. And we think if we were to sell it in the shape that it's in, we would, you know, not do very well.
Right.
And so I'm wondering, I've returned to working recently, a more close to full-time schedule, and I've been saving the money to, you know, put in to an IRA annually, and I've just been wondering if we should look at our house as part of our retirement plan, and instead of putting that money into the IRA, actually start using it while we're still fit enough to make these improvements,
yes.
So that when we sell the house, it's not, you know, I think that it'll be worse to sell it in the condition it's in than it would be if it was fixed up without going crazy spending on fixing it up.
Yeah. Well, I like the way you're thinking, Susan, and I think it's probably a both and in the sense that, yes, your home, assuming it's paid off, is a part of the assets that you'll have available to you so long as you sell it and take the funds, the proceeds, and you certainly want to try to maximize the selling price. And to your point, some of these maintenance items and repairs are going to be a part of maximizing the value of the asset when it's sold. But that assumes that you're going to sell it and not put the money into another piece of property, but you're going to perhaps downsize, buy something else for cash, and then you'll have a certain sum of money that's left over. The only negative to that is it's going to be in a taxable account. So if you were to try to invest that money and generate an income from it, it's going to be all taxable along the way, which is going to put a drag on the investment returns. But you are correct. It's a part of the equation. So I think we need to try to do both in the sense that recognizing recognize that while you still have your health, you're still working, let's get as much as we can going into qualified accounts, meaning tax-deferred accounts that are retirement in nature, and take a part of the money that you have coming in, the cash flow you have, whether it's through just doing it a little bit at a time or borrowing a sum of money and then knowing that you have a goal to pay it back by the time you fully retire, so that you can do the improvements you need, not where you're going crazy and, you know, trying to improve it beyond what's needed, but where you're really thoughtful about what do we need to do to maintain the property, enjoy it, but also really help to do the things to maximize the value of the property when we sell it. And if you do both of those things, fix up the property a little bit and then get some additional money going toward retirement in a tax deferred account, all of that together, all of those assets and accounts are going to make up what you have available in retirement. Last thing I would say is do some retirement planning. Sit with a Christian financial advisor who can really help you make some projections on where you're going to be.
You're listening to MoneyWise Live with Rob West, and we'll be right back.
Do you know if you have enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy here to help you understand the urgency and how fun it is to share your faith at every opportunity. All of us know we've been commanded to go into all the world and share the good news, but do you know how much fun it is to tell people what they're already desperate to hear? Difficult days are great days for sharing your faith. God's getting the attention of everyone around you to listen to you. And it's so simple. You don't have to be trained or have special talents to share your faith. Just love on people. Jesus said people will know that you're his disciple by your love, by allowing God's love to flow through you to them. When you show genuine concern for people and quote a scripture, offer to pray for them, or relate a similar experience that brought you closer to God, the Holy Spirit will use your words to minister to them every time, even when they don't show it. There's nothing more fun than moving someone closer to God. Join us at IgniteAmerica.com.
23 years ago, a 19-day-old baby was abducted from a New York hospital. That baby grew to adulthood. While growing up, she didn't feel she was where she really belonged. She became curious. One day, viewing pictures on a missing persons website, Carlina White recognized a photo. It was her baby picture. She contacted the mother who posted the photograph. DNA tests confirmed their relationship. Carlina and her biological mother have been reunited. Every year, millions of people around the world draw a similar conclusion. They sense the life they've been living isn't the one they should be living. Have you often felt there's something more? According to the Bible, that's God's invitation. You were born to belong in His family. Whatever life you've been living up to now, God invites you to something better. He wants you to seek His forgiveness for your sin and join the family where you really belong. He wants you to come home. We'd like to help you find the way. Call 888-NEED-HIM. You can chat with us live or download a free Bible at needhim.org.
The financial wealth you leave behind could be the best thing that ever happened to your loved ones, or the worst. In Splitting Heirs, giving your money and things to your children without ruining their lives, Ron Blue explains why it's important to make these decisions now instead of forcing your heirs to do it later. Splitting Heirs will foster a real appreciation for the precious resources that God has entrusted to you. And it's available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
MoneyWise Live is a partnership between Moody Radio and MoneyWise Media, and of course, you play a big part in that. Without your prayers and your financial gifts, this program wouldn't continue on a daily basis. If you'd like to make a donation to our ministry, we certainly would appreciate that. Just visit moneywiselive.org, click the Donate tab, and again, thank you very much in advance. Now we go to Clinton, Iowa. Hi, Josh. How are you today, sir?
Hey, you're doing well.
Great. How can we help you, sir?
Well, I have a 401k from a previous employer, and wondering what to do with it. My current employer offers a SEP or a SEP, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm wondering, what do I do with that 401k and what your advice would be?
Very good. Yeah, Josh, given that you don't have a new 401k with your new employer, I'd roll that 401k out to a traditional IRA. So if you have a relationship with an investment institution, you could open a traditional IRA there if you don't have one already. And then you'd contact the plan administrator of your 401k, tell them that you want to do a rollover to an IRA. They'll give you the surrender paperwork, and then that money will go directly from that institution to the custodian of your IRA. It will be deposited in the form of cash, and then at that point, you'll have to decide how to invest it. So that would be the way to go, and then you would start contributing to your new retirement account with your current employer. Do you have a sense of how you want to invest that money? Is that something you're comfortable with, or would you be looking for more of an automated solution? Give me a sense of what your thinking is there.
I honestly don't know.
Okay. What is the balance in that 401k?
What's that?
What's the balance in that old 401k with the previous employer?
Only about 10,000.
Okay. All right. So I would look at a couple of things. Number one, you could go to soundmindinvesting.org, and they have some mutual funds that are a part of their program with a wonderful newsletter with great godly advice on managing money that you could choose. Many of them are no transaction fee and no load, meaning no commissions involved, and you could invest that way. The other option is what has become more popular in the last couple of years, and that's through these robo-advisors, where basically you answer a series of questions. They build a low-cost, very properly diversified portfolio using exchange-traded funds, which buy indexes that mirror certain indexes across the U.S. and the global markets with both stocks and bonds. And then it basically, through the intelligence of the system, the money would be invested for you automatically based on, again, your objectives and goals. And you could do that with Wealthfront. You could do that with Betterment. You could do that with Schwab Intelligent Portfolios. All of those are very similar, very high quality, and quite effective with something like this, where you have a smaller amount of money. You want it invested actively according to your goals and objectives, but you don't want to have to be the one making the decisions on which stock or which mutual fund to pick. That's where these really shine. So those would be the steps that I would follow, rolling it out and then deploying it through one of those three services.
Okay, great.
Okay, thanks for calling, Josh. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Josh. Rob, robo-advisors, it's something that seems to be coming up more and more these days. I'm wondering about pros and cons. Do you ever talk to a person, or are you always interfacing with a computer in some way?
Well, they have great websites, and so they make it very simple and easy to interact with it through a smartphone app or a website. But they also have customer service. So depending on the level of service you choose, and many of them have different tiers of support, you can either kind of do it yourself through the automated solution, which is very effective, or you can pay a little bit more to have access to somebody who's an advisor, perhaps somebody who's even a certified financial planner. And you know what folks are finding is that through these exchange-traded funds, they can basically own the market, so to speak. And what that means is own pieces of the market in domestic investments and international, as well as stocks and bonds, where it's rebalanced automatically as you receive income. You can get mm-hmm. started with a very small amount. So in some cases, you know, as little as, you know, $1,000. And it's very low cost. And so it's just a very efficient way to invest for somebody who's comfortable with that style of investing. Typically not used with those who have significant investable assets, I would say more than $250,000, although many people do use them, but that's not where you see them most common. You would typically find them with those who are getting started or have less amount to invest.
Are they easy to compare? Because in the past, you've mentioned three or four that you've found that you're comfortable with. Are they easy to compare as far as returns are concerned?
You know, it really depends. Because they're investing in indexes, Steve, they're really, you're just owning the market. And so in terms of how these portfolios are allocated, they all have different methodologies and algorithms that ultimately build these portfolios. But at the end of the day, what you're saying is with a passive form of investment, you're saying, I don't want to try to outpace the market. I'm just comfortable doing what the market does, and I'm going to make sure I'm properly diversified with the investments that I have. Now, with the finer points of breaking them down in terms of fees and expenses and the website functionality and all of that, absolutely, you can compare them pretty effectively.
Yeah. But of course, you know, it's a little impersonal, and I'm thinking, I'm just thinking far out a little bit. You probably don't get your Christmas card, right, like you would.
You never know. It may come by email, but
all right.
You may, in fact, get a Christmas card. I wouldn't be
like
surprised.
Like I said, pros and cons. It just depends what kind of person you are. I'm a softie. Well, never mind. Miami, Florida. Maria, how you doing today, and how can we help you?
Hello, and thank you so much for this incredible program. We really appreciate all that we learned from it. So thank you.
Thank you. That's very kind.
So I am 55 years old, and I have an employer 403B retirement fund. And with the last major crash, I lost a lot of money and panicked and moved all of my money or what was left to a guaranteed pooled fund. And recently when I was looking at it, I realized with 10 years left to retirement and only $110,000 in there, I really don't know what to do. Playing around with increasing the contributions or putting it in stock. Right now I'm contributing 10% with a 1% increase each year, which I just changed this last year. But increasing the contributions or putting it in stock, I'm not seeing a lot more money being added over the next 10 years. So I'm really at a loss on what to do.
Yes. Okay. Well, I think the key has to start, Maria, with what are you trying to accomplish? And that really is a function of what your needs are in retirement. When it comes to long-term money, the goal is not to beat the market. The goal is not to be able to, you know, outperform, you know, the market in any given time period. The goal is to take as little risk as possible to achieve a necessary return so that as you are diligent in keeping your lifestyle at a minimum and saving over time in accounts that can be invested, that money can grow, leveraging the power of compounding so that when you retire, those savings accounts combined with any other income sources you have, which might be a pension or Social Security or any other types of income sources, all together could cover your expenses. Have you done some of that planning, Maria, to say, okay, when I reach that point, given, you know, recognizing there's many unknowns, how when is the Lord going to come back? We certainly don't know that. Number two, you know, what is your health going to be like? But just given that you would have the ability to continue to work as long as you want to, have you thought about how long you might want to work and what your needs might be in retirement so that we could begin to determine what your savings goal is?
I have not done a plan like that. I would like to learn how to do that. I mean, I have a good job. I earn about 80 grand a year, and I hope to continue until retirement as much as I possibly can. It's not a physical job, so I think I might be able to, you know, again, Lord willing. So I'm really not sure. That's why right now I'm kind of nervous because I see how much we have saved, and I don't want to reach 10 years from now and find myself, oh, no, what we're going to do now.
Right, right. Well, I think that would really help give you some peace of mind so at least you know what you're shooting for, because if you don't have a plan, we don't know what we're aiming for. And so then you're always just feeling perhaps like, well, I'm probably behind because I don't know and I'm just assuming I don't have enough. And then that's just constantly weighing on you. So I would recommend, Maria, that you visit with a certified Kingdom advisor there in the Miami area. This is somebody that you can pay just for their time, perhaps one or two meetings where where you'd sit down and actually begin to build this out and say, okay, what are the income sources today? What does the lifestyle look like today, which is going to begin with what is your budget? What will that budget look like in retirement? How many more years do we have? What do you have the ability to save between now and then? And then finally, where is the best place to invest that money over the next 10 or 15 years while you're still working? The key is, going back to what you said earlier, we don't want to get in a situation where we're reacting emotionally to the market because we're either invested ineffectively because we're taking too much risk, or we just pull out of the market because we see it take a downturn and then we don't get back in and we miss out on the real compounding potential of the stock market. And that really comes from you having a trusted professional who can help you make those decisions so you're not reacting emotionally. So let me just recommend that you start by going to our website, moneywiselive.org, look for a certified Kingdom advisor in your area and do some retirement planning. That's going to allow you to come out of that with a real plan that you're bought into, you understand, and then from that point, you can really begin to do your saving and do your investing, but you'll know why you're doing it and what you're ultimately shooting for. And if you have any questions after you do that, give us a call.
Maria, thanks so much. And we are out of time with that. MoneyWise Live is indeed a partnership between Moody Radio and MoneyWise Media. Our thanks to Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. Please come back and join us again next time.